Great to have the Kings back home. Great to have Kyle Draper with us. Although I guess you're skipping out on us tomorrow, right? Because you're going.
Yeah. We got a flight to L.A. and we're leaving right at 2 o'clock. That's the. I could check in on the back end of the show.
Yeah, well, you know? It's up to you. Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hang out with Whitey and Jay, or.
Or you could
kick it in L.A.
You could do the show and then head down to L.A. in your Mercedes Benz.
Need to be checking
right
for that
now.
Wallet. Get back to that beach.
You're right, dude. What That's if I right. went back and it's like on a pole somewhere, just sitting there still? Oh my gosh! And here's the thing, though: when you lose your wallet, it's not just about your credit cards. My medical card. My Costco card. I'm like, I go to Costco yesterday. My boy Sin is over there working. I'm like, Sin, I ain't got my card. You know,
how are you going to pick up your Kirklands?
I tell you what, Costco has the best pizza. I don't know if you tried Costco pizza.
I haven't in a while.
Yeah, Costco pizza is the bomb. But I got the Costco app now. So he showed me, hey, here you go.
Great.
So, but no, you lose that.
He's looking for a Costco endorsement.
Dude, I'm looking for every endorsement. I'm trying to get my Carmichael Dave on, you know, that guy right there. It's like, he's selling wings, he's selling cars, he's selling HVAC systems.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, come on, Dave, you don't need all that.
Yeah. Well, the Kings do need at some point De'Aaron Fox back. Will they get him tonight? Here's De'Aaron Fox speaking after practice yesterday on how he's coming along.
I feel better. I mean, I was able to go through practice today, so optimistic about tomorrow for sure.
With the knee, Brian, has it been pain tolerance? Are they worried swelling at all?
It was swollen a bit, but it's like if I was standing for a period of time, and then it would be hard to sit down. If I was sitting down for a period of time, then when I stood up, it was like sore. So, it was pain tolerance, but also be smart. If I can't go out there and help my team, then I wouldn't play.
By the way, and very few people that that comment here actually get to Drapes, but Ryan Williams did here.
Come on, man.
On the YouTube. In fact, as we were listening to De'Aaron Fox, Drapes pointed and said, look at that on the YouTube chat. Drapes got to replace that AARP membership card, too.
They send that when you're 50 now, and I'm getting close. Your boy, I got a birthday coming up in about 6 weeks. Oh, 5 weeks, as a matter of fact. I'm definitely taking off for my birthday. It just hit me. I'm definitely calling in sick that day. But no, they send you that when you're 50, man. Yeah. So,
well, how about De'Aaron Fox? What's the latest? That was yesterday.
And
today, he went through shoot-around,
right? I mean, all signs are pointing to him playing, right?
Yeah.
Practice yesterday, full participant. Shoot-around, full participant. Listed as questionable. And if you look at last week, the two games last week, he was questionable in those games, went through his workout pregame routine, and then decided not to play. You would think after a few days, it's just a knee
bruise.
Confusion.
Bad bruise.
Yeah, it's bad, but you would think.
It's not like he bumped into the nightstand or anything.
Throw some Icy Hot up on there and get out there and play, you know what I mean? So this is a big game, and you get 2 days off after this too, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
So go out there. I'll be honest, though. And my boy Chuck Swirsky is down there right now. This is no disrespect, Chuck.
Uh-oh.
He probably can't hear me. But even without De'Aaron Fox, this Kings team should handle the Bulls tonight.
Ooh.
Hey, I love Chuck.
Do we know if Caruso's playing tonight?
I know.
Poor Chuck's doing his pregame. He's got a little snack going there, and there's Kyle Draper coming out. I'm just a broadcaster.
That's the mindset you got to have if you're Sacramento. I don't care who takes the floor tonight. You got to get this win, right?
Well, yeah, sure. That's what the attitude they have to have.
Right.
You don't have to bring it up here against poor Chuck Swirsky.
Yeah, we'll have Chuck on at 4:45. We'll take this to the airwaves.
We were supposed to. I wouldn't blame him now if he said, you know what?
Right, I'm done.
I don't want any part of it.
Chuck is – Oh, you heard it?
Chuck says, bet you a coffee.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
The outcome of the
no,
game.
No, we're not allowed to bet, Chuck. You know that. We're not allowed to bet on games, NBA games. So I can't take that. But but seriously, you know, we've seen this team rise to the occasion. just because of De'Aaron Fox is out, and I thought they were going to lose the other day to Minnesota. I'm like, man, no De'Aaron Fox, Minnesota. Like, that's how it should be. When somebody's down, that's what teams do to us. You know what I mean, Whitey?
Yeah, yes, I do.
When a player's down,
yes,
somebody else steps up. And this Kings team should be that way.
Uh-huh. Can't let that happen to you tonight. Now, Malik Monk,
yes.
As we look at this team and we try to figure out who's the leader, well, De'Aaron Fox is, most people say he's the best player. So, in that sense, he's a leader.
Right.
Domantas Sabonis leads in terms of playing hard every night. He gets after his teammates sometimes a little bit. Doesn't really seem like his character, but he's not averse to doing that. So, he's a leader. Harrison Barnes provides some leadership. Mm-hmm. But to me, nobody leads this team quite the way Malik Monk does when he's playing like he did Friday night.
You're right, because the one thing that you see from Malik, and I 100% agree with you, it's not even the baskets, it's not even the defense, the passing, it's just how he moves around the court. When he's got it going on,
he's got a swagger.
It's just like he's skipping around the court. You know,
uh-huh.
It's his playground, and everybody else just got to sit back and watch. And you're right, even when De'Aaron is at his best, Domas is dominating. Keegan, it doesn't seem to be the same level of, let's say, joy, swagger, like you said, and a disdain for the opponent, too.
Uh-huh.
Like,
uh-huh.
That's what you – like, he has a scowl on his face or a smile if he's really kicking your butt. And so I think he really enjoys, you know, like we saw the other night. And so you're right about that.
Yeah. We know that Davion said about the team meeting – he said, we just we can't put our heads down when we're not scoring the ball. Malik, and we know he's human and he's had some off nights. Malik is not one to pout on the court, right?
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't get discouraged.
Right.
And that's a great form of leadership, especially for this team that has had kind of a split personality at times this year.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about Malik, I feel like he comes on the floor with a chip on his
shoulder. Is the Costco pizza of sixth men.
Oh, man, don't get me started. I love Costco pizza. It just takes too long to make, though. Oh, my God, it's so packed in Costco yesterday when I went. But, dog, I feel like Malik walks onto the floor with a chip on his shoulder, like I'm ready to compete. You know, now there have been some games where it hasn't been successful.
Right.
He sort of blended in.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that guy comes in ready to play. And I think it comes from his upbringing in Lepanto, Arkansas. Let me tell you this story about Malik Monk really quickly here. Malik Monk grew up in a tiny town called Lepanto, Arkansas. His brother Marcus was a stud football player at Arkansas or Alabama, so something like one of those. Was a sixth-round NFL draft pick. Decided to go overseas and play basketball in Germany.
Wow.
Won two championships as a basketball player in Germany. As Malik was getting older, his brother decided to move back to Arkansas. His brother was 26, 27 years old. Said, you know what? I'm coming back to take care of my little brother. And so he moved back, gave up his professional career, came back to Arkansas to help raise Malik. And I think that's where he developed that chip on his shoulder. And, you know, I talked to Malik about it. He's his agent now, he says. His brother is his agent. But, you know, life wasn't sweet growing up in Arkansas. You know, he's always had to play with that edge. And I think he gets it from his environment and from his brother as well. And you see, he's business when he steps out on the floor. It's not all, you know, lollygagging, we're friends. You know, I'm not looking to dap you up or shake hands or kiss. He's out there trying to beat you. And I think we talk about leaders. I think other players can sort of take some of that into their game.
That's a great story. Now, his brother was a basketball player, you said?
Yeah, started out as a football player, drafted in the NFL, but went overseas to play basketball.
Do you think he could spend some time with Malik shooting free throws? Is that, yeah, I mean, is that?
You're being like Folsom Mike over here, all negative and everything. I told you, we're not going to do the negative slander tonight, Whitey.
Did you hear what Malik said when he was on the post game with Deuce and Moe?
No, I don't listen to Deuce. No, I did hear.
Yeah, and we can't even say what he said.
No, he like,
yeah.
He said,
yeah.
I'd ask, because Deuce asked him about it.
Yeah, you know? Could you just make some free throws so we don't have a heart attack? I've been saying the same bleep. I've been saying this.
Yeah. He understands. He understands.
And that's the best thing about Malik is he tells you what he's thinking. He's very honest.
Let me ask you this, though, because we talked about it. Does it even matter nowadays as long as they win the game? Like, the free throw shooting was atrocious against Minnesota, but they won the game.
Yeah, which is great. But it's trending in a bad direction where I could see them getting to a point where they're in a play-in or maybe they're not in the play-in. Okay. Big playoff game, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, and the Kings are 16 for 30 tonight. Right. It's like,
back to bite them.
Yeah.
At some point, you're saying, when it matters the most.
Right.
Right, I hear you.
Right. When we come back, is the sixth spot, maybe even the five spot. Can we even ask this question?
Yes.
Is it there for the Kings taking? Next. From the Golden One Center. Turns out Chuck was just kidding about the Kings. Can you believe that?
Bet?
Yeah, he says, there's no bet. He said, I'm just kidding. I can't.
I know. He's not a betting man. He's not. So, we can't even bet in the NBA anymore. You can't.
I understand.
Chuck's not a betting man. Come
I understand
on.
That. I get it. I just figured, hey, we're going to win some Costco pizza today.
They're only like $9, Whitey. You can just go buy your own. $9.99, I think, there.
What do you guys think? Have you heard of the thing at KFC that's Cheez-a? It's fried chicken
with
mozzarella and pepperoni on top. Have you seen that? Cheez-a. It's called Cheez-a.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I
love KFC.
Right?
Yes.
You see a commercial for
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I saw the tail end.
Fried chicken, and then it's got mozzarella and then pepperoni on it. And there's this lady in there, this older lady. She goes, that's that pizza. And some, you know, this punk who needs to pull his pants up and get a job.
See.
He's
right.
He says, you're right. It's not.
Just like, do what you do and do it really well.
Turn your hat around, pull your pants up, and get a job.
What they going to offer soup next? And I mean, just don't, like, come on.
I know. It's like they take random. It's like you put a bunch of things in this category. Donut, hot dog, burrito. And then you put hamburger, Twinkie, ice cream cone. And then they combine them. And it's like, what are you doing?
You want to hear this story?
Yes.
I have not had KFC since 2010, maybe. I was doing a pregame show with Dave Cowens.
Whoa, the great Dave Cowens.
Great Dave Cowens.
Him and Petrie were co-rookies of the year 1 year.
Yes, and he is a health guy. Like, he's all about what he puts in his body. And he just turned me off. Let me just say that.
Oh, okay.
And so ever since that moment, I have not tried KFC.
I'm not going to eat it every night or anything, but I love it.
Do you really?
It's good.
It's been a while, man.
It's good.
Original or crispy?
I like the original.
Okay.
But I don't know about this Cheez-a.
Cheez-a.
Like, why? Why would you do that? Anyway, I'll be curious to see if that ever rivals Costco pizza in popularity.
No,
I don't think it will.
No, I tell you what. And I haven't tried it, but the Costco hot dog for $1.50.
That's world famous.
Scott's over here like,
that's world famous. There's no question about that.
No, it's world famous, right? That's
how
they get you.
Yeah,
my parents go there all the time for the hot dog and the
dude, I know that. I'm your mom's friend.
Your mom's friend. They pick up some Kirkland golf balls, and they're out of there. Yeah.
Kyle, that's enough tomfoolery, dang it. Is the six spot, maybe even the five spot, is it there now for the Kings for the taking?
The five spot is within play, Whitey. I just looked at the standings, Kings fans, and I understand the Pelicans have the tiebreaker over the Sacramento Kings. But when you look at the standings right now,
you're a game behind them.
You're just a game
same number of losses
behind them.
Yeah.
You got tonight's game against the Chicago Bulls. Win that, then you're a half game behind them. They play at Toronto tomorrow, and they have a more difficult schedule than you. I broke it down. I think the five spot is well within reach, and it may come down. They got one more meeting, and I understand the Pelicans are going to have the tiebreaker no matter what.
Right.
But that's a full game that can tilt the standings. And so let's say you're tied at that point. You win that game. You're in control of your own destiny. You're a game up. And so all this talk about the play-in, forget the play-in. I say the five seed is within reach for the Sacramento Kings.
Hmm.
Not buying that?
Well, I just have to respect the Pelicans and the way they have dominated the Kings. And you've kind of taken a different view of it, if I understand you correctly, which is, no, they did that, but the Kings are better, and it's going to even out. They're going to get the better of the Pelicans at some point. So I just figuring that you're looking up at them and they have the tiebreaker, I think it's there, but it's going to be tough. The sixth seed, though, you know, we were just talking about the Suns. It's really hard to envision the Suns staying up there.
Right.
And Kevin Durant's phenomenal, but Booker's hurt now. Their schedule's brutal. Beal's hurt. And then it comes down to Dallas also. Dallas with a bad loss yesterday.
Yes.
I think the six is there for the Kings. The five, I'm not saying they can't do it. Remember, last week I said this is a play-in team. So,
yeah.
So who am I to talk about the five seed?
You know what's interesting about Dallas? And we faced them twice still. We faced them two games in a row.
Back-to-back
games. On a Tuesday and a Friday. But I'm looking at Dallas' remaining schedule. They got OKC twice. Guess who they have three times?
Minnesota? I don't know.
The Golden State Warriors.
Ah,
what do we want to happen there? Because who knows? The Warriors might be pushing in for a 7-8 spot or something like that. Like, I think we got to cheer for the Warriors,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. Can you do that? Are you capable of doing that?
I can't do it. I can't do it. Maybe one game, but three games of cheer for the Warriors, I don't know if I could do it. But Warriors, we may need help from them.
Yeah.
Like, as much as we dislike them, as much as we argue with their fan base, man, it would be nice if they could do us a solid. Do us a little favor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at this Dallas schedule, it's pretty easy. Like, they got Detroit twice still. They got Utah twice. It's going to be tough, man. Dallas, they've come back down to earth, though, a little bit.
Yes, they have. They've lost two in a row.
Yeah.
The Suns have lost two in a row. The Timberwolves have lost two in a row. And as we've said a million times in the West, you lose a couple games in a row, you start dropping like a stone.
Yes, exactly. And ultimately, though, Whitey, when you look at the Kings' schedule, they have the opportunity to control their own destiny. You got one against the Pelicans still. You still got Phoenix. Two against Dallas. You know, so you play two against the Lakers, if I'm correct. So you play those teams sort of pushing you for that sixth spot, if you will. And you got New Orleans that you're trying to track down for the five spot. And so when you have, 23 games remaining, 16 of those, I believe, at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not go 16-7? Think about this.
I think it's 15 of the last 23.
Is it 15?
I think
Of the last 23?
Seven of the next eight.
Yeah, you might be right. But why not? Is 16-7 out of the possibility for this Sacramento Kings team?
Here's the downside. Well, I don't know if it's a downside, but something to keep in mind. They have the 15th best home record, the Kings do, in the NBA right now. Last year, they had the 18th best home record. And they said, well, we got to do better than that. And they're doing a little better than that.
That
ain't going to get it done.
If I'm a Kings fan, that's frustrating to me.
Yes.
This is supposed to be one of the best home courts.
And Kings fans, dude, they
bring their game.
Although they're having a few more boos this year than we expected.
Hey,
but
and I'm okay with boos.
They're showing up, and they're bringing the support.
Right. They're bringing, like, the Kings fans, you'll see tonight, Whitey. They're stoked about the win against Minnesota. They are going to be geeked up, fired up, ready for tonight.
Yep.
It's up to the players to make sure it stays that way. Don't come out and lay an egg here. Like, this is – we just had Stacey King on earlier talking about the home court advantage and the fans. These fans deserve a great effort tonight. And 15 of the final 23 or whatever it is at home, come on, man. And it's not like – you're facing the Bostons of the world. Like, your home schedule is actually pretty decent.
That's one of the weirdest things about the success the Kings have had the last season plus, last year and this year. If you told somebody the Kings are going to be a three seed, they're going to challenge for the playoffs of next year, the first thing someone would have assumed is, well, they must win, like, all their home games.
Right.
Right?
No.
And the home court advantage, yeah, it's an advantage there, but it's not close to what people think that it actually is. And it hasn't been close to that. It's kind of the Kings' home court advantage has been kind of a myth to this point. But I have to think there's still a chance down the stretch here for them to get that on the right track, like they did in their first year in Sacramento in 86. They won a bunch of home games late in the year, and they ended up making the playoffs. So there's still that opportunity, but they have not taken advantage of home court.
I'm looking at it, Whitey. The Utah Jazz have a better home record.
Yeah, yeah.
The Houston Rockets.
I looked it up. I mean, it was stunning.
This is like, what? Like, the Lakers have a better home court record than you. Phoenix.
15th, you're like middle of the pack.
Yes.
15th best home court. 15th. In this town.
In this town, which is unbelievable because you talk to anybody in the NBA, Sacramento's fan base, one of the best in the NBA. Like, maybe that should have been said in the players' meeting, too. Hopefully they talked about that. Like, you know, because we saw it last week. You beat the Clippers and then you come home.
Yeah.
Your crowd's fired up. They're ready. Yeah. They're proud of you. And you lay an egg.
Yep.
That can't happen.
Chuck Swirsky's going to join us in a little bit here when we come right back. Looks like the 49ers did try to hire a big-name defensive coordinator. Okay. After all, okay. We'll dive into that here from the Golden One Center Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. As always, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for your participation. Somebody on the chat just called me a nickname that I mentioned only because I've never been called that in my life. I appreciate it.
What?
Says, this is Mick. What is that? M-C-K-A-C-C-M. I apologize. That's for not knowing what that says. But you're awesome. Gleesy and Drapes.
Gleesy.
I've never been called Gleesy. That's fine. I appreciate it. But
cool with that? Okay.
Greasy Gleason I've been called. Gleese, Whites. When I was on the I don't know if I should tell this story. When I was
about
on the basketball team in high school, one of the guys on the team looked at me and said, N-word looked like Lee Marvin. Do you remember the actor Lee Marvin?
Oh, yeah, Lee Marvin. Somebody said that?
That's what my, yeah, my teammate.
Hey. Oh, man.
N-word looked like Lee Marvin.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, man. Oh, my gosh.
I've been called many things.
Yes, I see.
Gleesy, I had never been called Gleesy before.
That's pretty.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Gleesy and Drapes.
Something your wife or somebody would call you. Come here, Gleesy. I don't know.
A term of endearment.
Yeah,
huh?
Right. Seriously. Yeah.
That's what you would think. The 49ers called a lot of people looking for their next defensive coordinator. Did you ever buy into any of the talk that they were looking at Belichick?
Zero. No, because that's too much of a presence to be around. You know,
it
comes with too much. No,
I think there was a story that Shanahan at one point kind of vaguely asked Belichick, it came back, no, I'm not interested. But before the 49ers plan to promote Nick Sorensen and hire Brandon Staley, they looked into hiring. Have you heard who they looked into hiring?
No. Who?
Steve Spagnuolo.
Hmm.
Yeah, before he agreed to an extension with the Chiefs.
Can't beat him, join him.
All according to Dan Graziano. Before filling their defensive coordinator position Saturday with a promotion of Sorensen and hiring Brandon Staley, 49ers looked into several very intriguing options. The most intriguing would have been an all-time if you can't beat him, join him. Sources say the Niners explored the possibility of hiring Steve Spagnuolo away from the Chiefs.
That would have
their
been
defensive
a
coordinator
move.
Position.
Major move. That would have been major.
How if you're Steve Spagnuolo, and I know we just had those reports came out last week, the report cards from players.
Right.
It said it's not a great place to work. But how could Steve Spagnuolo leave the team that he just won the Super Bowl with?
For a similar position.
Yeah, with a team that you just beat.
You just beat. I mean, maybe he looked at the talent or something like that and considered it. I don't know.
His contract with the Chiefs was set to expire. The Niners' interest likely was one of the reasons the Chiefs moved quickly to extend him. New deal will pay him somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million per year to be the defensive coordinator. And so the Chiefs apparently are like, well, they got wind of this. Like, well, we better
take care of it right away. Take care of you.
Wow.
What do you make of the, and I haven't been on, I don't know if you and Jay talked about it, the defensive hires by the 49ers?
The thing that stands out to me is the guy they hired, Nick Sorensen. From 2013 to 2020, he was with the Seahawks. He was a special teams coach and a linebackers coach. So, you know, the 49ers love that kind of that cover three Seattle system. So this is a guy, he played, he was in the NFL. He wasn't a star or anything, but he played. And also he is very well versed in that system. So I got to think that's one of the big reasons why they're
He's there. Young too, though, right?
He's
a young guy and, but then you bring in Brandon Staley as well.
That's interesting. You know, he replaces who's the guy that was the coach of the Chargers, and he left. He was a running back coach. Gates? He just left.
Right, right.
Yeah, so he's kind of taken that position.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me being anti-Niners.
I think it I don't even know what you're going to say, but yes, that's definitely what it is.
But and Staley is what? The assistant head coach or associate head coach, or something like that is his title?
He was replacing Anthony Lynn, associate head coach.
Lynn. Oh, yes, that's what you're talking. Yeah, Lynn.
I apologize.
Yeah,
thank you. I was just looking that up. Thank you.
So, but Staley comes with a defensive background. Who's calling? Who's running the defense?
Well, looks
is
like
it Sorensen, or is it Staley? You know, looking over Sorensen's shoulders.
It's a good question, but I can't imagine they would set up that kind of predicament. What's the upside?
That's why I'm questioning it. That's why I'm like, why not just hire Staley as the defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Maybe that's a good question.
Maybe I
got to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Jay, you got anything on that or no? You like these hires or what?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you guys. I'm a little skeptical to kind of see where it goes. And I think, you know, Sorensen hasn't been anywhere near close to a defensive coordinator. And so I think they're just kind of bringing Brandon in there to have some, you know, I guess concrete foundation. We know he, as much as people, you know, detract from his head coaching experience, a lot of people always talk about how good he is defensively. Just couldn't get over the hump a lot on offense, and injuries, of course, have slowed it down. And most people would probably say his decision making on fourth down. But I think it's just more or less from what I know and what I've heard, Drapes, they want to keep, unlike what they did last year with Steve Wilkes, they want to keep the 4-3 look. They want to keep, you know, the zone and the cover two and all, or cover three. They want to keep that same type of schematic, you know, game plan. So they didn't want to go out and deviate from that. And Sorensen is that guy. And it seems like everybody likes him as well, you know, is inside hire. And I think Staley is just there for, like, look, Sorensen's never done it. Learn from Staley so Shanahan doesn't have to guide you and walk you through it. And, you know, we can put a plan together, so to say.
Yeah, okay. I think it might be this simple, Jay. What do you think of this? Sorensen, like you say, is a 4-3 guy. Staley, I don't think he's that well-versed in the 4-3, but he's versatile. So it's a matter of Sorensen's doing it, but at the same time, Staley is kind of like an advisor to him. And if things start going sideways, then that can get kind of prickly there. But I think that's the way it's set up. It's like, this guy knows the system better than you. You got ideas. We want to hear them. But I think they've drawn a clear line here. You're not the defensive coordinator. He is. And as long as the defense plays well, that shouldn't be an issue.
And maybe, too, Shanahan doesn't want to be as involved that he had to be this past year.
Yeah, that's a
with
agreed.
Defense also.
Yeah.
You know, you got a guy like Staley who can handle it now.
Uh-huh.
All right.
He's a babysitter.
They also –
Yeah.
But I know, you could see how, let's say, the defense struggles early on. People are going to be looking at – you know, well, Sorensen doesn't know what he's doing. Staley.
Right, he doesn't have that.
Yeah, although he was like a defensive coordinator only 1 year himself. He had a lot of success with the Rams. According to reports, the 49ers are expected to address Brandon Ayuk after free agency, and all indications are they have every intention.
Yeah. Didn't John Lynch say last week?
Much to Jay's dismay.
Right. Really, Jay?
That's not true, man. You know what? Stop putting words in my mouth there, White.
Get out of his pocket, Jay. Out of Ayuk's pocket.
I didn't say. I'm just saying if it's the 49, and it doesn't matter now because the cap is so high, this conversation really doesn't even matter anymore. He's going to get whatever he wants, and the 49ers are going to extend him. So I can almost digress at this point. He'll be on the 49ers.
Yeah, and that's good.
That's good, right? Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Right. And then maybe Juwan Jennings, too, although that's a little prickly because he's restricted, and there's teams that might want him. He was almost the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Almost. How about that? You're right. But we talked about it. Who's going to be the MVP? A lot of times in the Super Bowl, it's somebody outside of, unless it's the quarterback, but it's, you know, Larry Brown, you know, back in the day with the Cowboys or some of these other guys that you don't think about and you're like, oh, snap, they had a great game.
Yep. Legendary announcer, voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, is going to join us when we come back. Chuck's going to tell us about DeMar DeRozan, who may be, I don't know, one of the most underrated players certainly in the league, if not in the history of the league.
Yes.
Yeah, that's next. Chuck Swirsky with us when we come back from Golden One Center, the Drive Guys. It's Gleesy and Dreyfus.
Gleesy.
On Sacktown Sports. We got the Kings and the Chicago Bulls tonight. Can the Kings capitalize on their miraculous win on Friday night? We'll find out. Nice enough to join us now, legendary voice of the Chicago Bulls, Chuck Swirsky. How are you, Chuck?
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Good to be with you, Kyle. Good to see you again.
Good to see you again, my friend. Yes.
How about this Bulls team? Is there a thought, perhaps, that it would be nice for you guys to see what this team could do if they were actually ever fully healthy?
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, they're not healthy. Yeah. So you go with what you got. And right now what they have is that they're minus not only Lonzo Ball. People fail to realize this club was 18 games over 500 when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they were playing spectacular basketball on both ends of the floor. But you got to be fluid in the NBA, and no team is perfect. Every team has flaws, including Boston, including the defending champion Denver Nuggets. So you roll out your players, and they're without LaVine, and they're without Patrick Williams. So if you really wanted to add Lonzo in that mix, they're without three starters. Then on top of that, Torrey Craig, who in my opinion is a very underrated role player in this league, it has been for a number of years. Hopefully they're going to get him back somewhere, sometime maybe, if not on this trip, maybe back in Chicago next week. So right now, Coby White has emerged, in my opinion, as the most improved player in the NBA.
Yeah, Coby, I think, had 26 against us when we saw him a month ago in Chicago. What can you tell us about Alex Caruso? What's his status? Any idea?
His status, well, they list him as questionable, but they did the other night and he played. So I think, and again, unless we are taking the needle deeper in the purple and then the black where you're not going to be able to play, I think when you're listed as questionable, chances are they're going to play.
You're going to play.
You know, just like Aaron
he's
Fox.
A difference maker too,
yes,
isn't
he? Is. Yes, he is. I mean, he is a sensational player because he plays defense 1-5. I mean, whether it was Giannis, whether it's Durant, I mean, he gets right underneath the grill. And he is a tough, tough player. And it's a pleasure to watch where in this day and age where everyone's shooting threes and everyone's so concerned about putting points on the board, he embraces defense and he loves it.
Yeah, it's almost like, what's that guy doing? No, that's defense. Oh,
they played it.
Is that how you do that? Speaking of greatness, I know that guys had kind of a tough game against the Bucks, but DeMar DeRozan joins the 20,000-point club. You've been doing the NBA for a long time. Can you put into perspective how good he is, how much he's meant to this franchise, and how perhaps underrated he is? I think he's vastly underrated.
You know what, Kevin, I'm glad you said this. Because, and Kyle knows this from his days in the Eastern Conference, seeing DeMar with Toronto, and then just a cup of coffee with San Antonio. But, you know, you mentioned the points. His leadership is off the charts. He has taken a stable of young kids on the Bulls that right now are probably in that range of 8 to 10 in the rotation, but he makes them feel like, hey, you know what? You got to come in. You never know when you're going to get your number called. Hmm. And whether that's Phillips, whether that's Terry, whether that's Andre Lopatin, who had a really nice game the other night against Cleveland. The truth of the matter is, you cannot measure what DeMar DeRozan has meant to this franchise, along with Toronto, and Pops loves him in San Antonio. So he goes past 23,000. He's headed to the Hall of Fame. And yet, here we are talking about a mid-range jump shooter.
Right.
And everyone knows what's coming. He's going to get the ball on the left block. He's going to spin baseline. He'll do the fade from about 13 to 18 feet. Or he'll set up at the top of the key. He'll do a double pump at the top of the key, hoping that his defender will bite, draw a foul. He went to the foul line the other night 19 times.
Wow. Yep. So he's still drawing the fouls out there. Wow, yes. That's impressive. And I think, you know, more so than his actual game, Chuck, in today's day and age when stars, as they get older, start looking at, all right, where can I get a ring? You know, let me go here. Let me force my way out here. I haven't heard any of that from DeMar. You know, he's 34 years old. Seems like he reports for duty every single night, no complaints. You know, it is what it is with him.
Well, how about this? He's 34, as you mentioned, Kyle. He leads the NBA in minutes per game.
Wow.
Okay? And he is second overall in total minutes. Number one is Kobe White.
Kobe White, right? Yeah.
And so you've got two players right now in different ends of the spectrum age-wise, but all they do is they show up and they play.
They're not managing their loads, are they?
No, they don't. And I'll tell you what, Billy Donovan always says, hey, I got to take you out. You got to get 3 or 4 minutes on the bench. He hates coming out. And you know what? Here's a guy, he is egoless. He just loves the game, and he will do one-on-one interviews, and he will never turn down a request from whether it's local or national media,
really?
Because he's very big on expressing how he feels about the game of basketball and, more importantly, about his private life, mm-hmm. which is now public
yes.
because of mental wellness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's just started, I'm not sure you saw on his YouTube channel, Dinners with DeMar.
Yes,
and
I saw that.
Very open dialogue.
What was that, like last week or 2 weeks ago or something?
Started
it was
2 weeks
very
ago.
Recently,
yep.
yeah.
With Draymond, mm-hmm. and now he's got Dwayne Wade coming on. And mm-hmm. I think it's so refreshing for a player to say, you know what, I needed help. And I had to seek out help because I got off the track. And he's just a fabulous human being. He really is.
What do you think of the job that Mike Brown's done here? And I know you guys don't get to see the Kings but twice a year, but obviously he's turned things around here. You were an NBA announcer when the Kings were one of the most exciting teams in the league, and you were an announcer when they weren't. Now they're climbing that mountain again, it would appear. How about the job Mike Brown's done here?
Well, I think it's fabulous. I mean, you look at the personnel, number one. I mean, your front office has got it together here. I mean, you've got talent. At the end of the day, Mike Brown is an outstanding head coach. But you're an outstanding head coach because you've got great players. At the end of the day, you got to have players in this
right.
league. And, I mean, you've got, in my opinion, I mean, the job that Sabonis is doing night after night after yeah. night. And then you got De'Aaron Fox. And, I mean, I saw plenty of Keegan Murray on the Big Ten Network because we're based in Chicago, yep. of course. And we saw plenty of Iowa games. And, I mean, just to see how this club has morphed into – an outstanding Western Conference team in a very tough conference in the East. You know, when people start talking about Boston, which in my opinion is the best team I've
good.
Seen
yeah, they're
all
good.
Season. I mean, without any doubt, Boston is the best team I've seen. And we haven't played the Clippers yet. But, I mean, you've got Boston, and then you got Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Cleveland. But they've got injuries now. I mean, Mitchell is going to be out now for Cleveland. You don't know when Embiid yeah. is coming out. He's hoping to be back before the end of the season. You know, Milwaukee's still trying to find themselves with the coaching change, although it appears post-All-Star break that they've kind of turned the corner a little bit. But they really haven't played a lot of great competition. So when you look at the big picture here, I'm saying, you know, out West, I mean, I don't know how these teams do it every night.
Every night, yeah.
I mean, there is no soft spot. I mean, you can go right down the list and say to yourself, okay, that might be a dub. You can't say that.
Right.
Not,
right.
Oh, yeah, we know that, 100%. Chuck, you know, you used to be the voice of the Toronto Raptors
yes.
as well.
Yep.
And, you know, here in Sacramento, we talk a lot about Mike Brown. We talk about Jordy Fernandez. Tell me about Jay Triano, though,
yes.
and what he means to Canadian basketball and what kind of guy the Kings have in him.
Well, number one, he's a Canadian basketball icon mm-hmm. from his days at Simon Fraser near the Vancouver area playing hoops. And the head coach, he played for the national team with Bill Wennington, by the way, my broadcast okay. partner. And then he coached the national team, did a great job, not a good job, but a great job. And this guy's a lifer, and he is one of the most intelligent basketball coaches I have ever been around. And I'm not saying that because I like him personally, which I do. I'm looking at it strictly, Kyle, from an X's and O's basketball standpoint. I think the Kings have a wonderful coaching staff, and a key reason is because of a guy like Jay Triano.
Chuck Swirsky's our guest, legendary voice of the Bulls. As far as the matchup tonight, we talked with Stacey King about this earlier. Are the Bulls really going to focus on trying to slow things down? We know the Kings
yes.
are trying to push them, and the Bulls don't do that.
No, we don't. I mean, listen, we're near the bottom in pace.
Right.
And you are who you are. And I think the intention was, Kevin, to start the season shooting more threes. Well, they've done that. But the pace, I think they wanted to play faster. And they're realizing that the personnel just doesn't fit that mode. So you have to play within your strengths. And their strength is right now, let's get the ball as much as we want to push it. get the ball over the midcourt line, and let's start running some high screen and rolls with Vooch, and let's throw some kickouts because Kobe loves the elbow threes. And you look at right down, I mean, you know, DeMar is DeMar, and you know what you're going to get out of him with his mid-range jumper and trying to go to the foul line. But, you know, I'm looking at the volume of shots and where this team is at right now with the loss of LaVine, and it's been a huge loss on many different fronts. And so you get in a game of the fourth quarter, and this club still has enough to win, but they've got to play near flawless basketball in order to get a W, especially on the road.
Chuck Swirsky joining us. Got a great book out, always a pleasure. Chuck sent me a copy, signed copy as well. Appreciate that, Chuck. You know, when I look at your team, Chuck, and just over the years, you guys have been in the mix but haven't been good enough to be a contender,
yep.
Haven't been bad enough to bottom out.
Correct.
There's a lot of chatter at the trade deadline. We're out here in Sacramento. Ooh, can we get Caruso? Ooh, what about DeMar, you know? But management has decided to stand pat.
That's
what do you make of that from a broadcasting standpoint? You're calling the games. Are you surprised by that, especially in this day and age where, you know, you got some teams, you know, tanking and doing all this?
Yep. Here's my response to that. It's a great question, and it's a valid one. And here's my response. We don't know, because we think we know, but we don't know what goes on in a conference room
right.
with your owner, with your general manager, with your player personnel director, with your head coach. We have no idea. We can speculate, but that's all there is.
Right.
It's speculation. We don't know if they're saying, listen, you know what, we put out feelers, or this is what we are receiving from different clubs, and do we really want to go this direction at this time? Maybe we should revisit in July. Okay, so they elected to stay with what they have. And I think what the goal is, I think they wanted to play in? Absolutely not. I think going into the season, they were believing that with the Eastern Conference, they could be knocking on the door for 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not obviously going to happen. They're locked into the 9th.
Right.
And so they're going to get Atlanta at home, or Kevin, they're going to get Toronto at home. Maybe the Nets. I don't think anyone wants to get the 10th seed. All these teams are losing every night, it
right.
seems like, whether it's the Hawks and the Raptors now without Scottie Barnes, Hawks without Trae Young. You got the Nets that who knows what's going on there. So I think the Bulls can win the 9-10 game in Chicago. Then you look at the Eastern Conference and you say to yourself, all right, the 7-8, and that fluctuates. And let's say it's going to be Orlando. Let's say Orlando plays Indiana for the 7-8, and they lose, and they get Orlando at home, Bulls and Magic. I think those young kids, this is just my opinion, and Orlando has beaten the Bulls 3 times this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you put Orlando with those young kids, and all of a sudden the first pressure game that they've ever played in, and I could be wrong, but the first time you go through this as a young player where this is a – game
must
of
win, kind of, yeah.
Yep, you lose, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these kids haven't been in that game since the NCAA tournament, if they, in fact, went to the tournament. I think the Bulls could steal that game. And then, of course, they play Boston. And
but that would be considered a success, you think, in Chicago,
well,
getting into the top 8, you know, an actual playoff berth.
Well, I mean, consider that you would go into it without LaVine
yeah.
and Williams.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a rash of injuries that, you know, we haven't even talked about. But I would think if you got to the 8th seed and you said to yourself, we started 5-14.
Yeah.
And right now, I mean, the Bulls are over 500 since that, you know, unbelievable, you know, it was a horrible start.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least they showed some fight.
Yeah.
And
look, Chuck,
that's all you want.
We're up against it, but I just want to say, I'm rooting for Lonzo Ball because
yes.
you're right. You mentioned it. When he was healthy, this team was playing some good basketball. And ever since he's been down, you know, Kobe's done a great job. Io's done, you know, but there's something special about him.
Yep.
And that's another guy that defends, right?
Yeah,
oh,
and
absolutely.
He defends. And so I know he's doing some basketball activities. It's still a long road back. That's heartbreaking to me. I was a big Lonzo Ball
yep.
fan.
You know, the thing is that his dad overshadows what his sons have accomplished, you know, with LaMelo and Lonzo. I'll say this for Lonzo. He is an outstanding human being. I've met him several times. He spends time in Chicago, goes back home to L.A. to work out. But, I mean, he's a very nice young man. The whole family is, actually. And one thing that we really miss about Lonzo, other than everyone you mentioned, his defense and his three-point shooting, his passing ability from 75 feet down the floor, is his vision is amazing. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
So we're all of us are wishing the very best. I think I can speak for everyone in the NBA. You never like to see a player not even entering. He is just entering the prime.
Yeah.
He hasn't even gotten to the prime, and this happens. And unfortunately now, you know, he's got a road to go. I mean, you know, and we're wishing him the best.
Well, Chuck, two things. One, thank you very much for your time. And two, you know, you've been nice enough to be a guest on various shows many times over the years. But I think this is the first time you've had to prepare with us up here in the same row, jabbering away. So apologies for that.
You know, I'll tell you what. I love Sacramento. Bill Weddington has told me so much about this city. You know, he played on the team that won only one road game. Do you
really?
Know?
Mata team? Yeah. I remember. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
You should ask him about that. Because, I mean, you go through.
Oh, no, there he is back there. Okay.
One road victory.
There he is. You up next, Bill. You up next.
Okay, but he does. Yeah. He loves Sacramento.
Yes.
There's a lot of friends here.
Well, thank
anyway,
you very much.
Thanks so much.
All right, my man.
Have a great call tonight.
See you in a little bit. Yeah. Okay,
yes,
now.
Sir.
All right.
Bulls announcer, former Sacramento King, Bill Weddington, next when we return to the Gold One Center Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.